You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
When does God say enough? Does his patience ever run out? Do his love and mercy ever come to an end? Well, these are difficult questions, aren't they? And they have hard answers. And the Bible teaches us that it's all about our hearts. Welcome to Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee. I'm Steve Schwetz, and we're in the Old Testament book of Ezekiel, which was written to a people who had stiffened their necks against God. They wanted nothing to do with him, or his prophet, or his word. Well, at what point will judgment be necessary to bring a rebellious people to their knees? When is it judgment, or when is it discipline? So hearts will turn back to God. Well, that's what we'll find out. As you open to Ezekiel chapter 12, Greg Harris is here with us so that we can give you a quick update on our world prayer team. And I'm really enjoying our prayer journey this week through South America. We get really great stories from our neighbors down south,
yeah,
don't we?
We do, Steve. And as you like to say, this is our first child globally, Spanish, Latin American Spanish, over 50 years ago we started. And so we just have a multi-generational impact, and God does so many things. And so, Steve, this week, our world prayer team is in South America. We're praying for all different countries in South America. And if you're not on the world prayer team, how do you join it?
Oh, you got to sign up today, my friend. Go to ttb.org/pray. Sign up. You'll get a daily email Monday through Friday. It'll transform the way you go through your inbox, and you can pray effectively and see how God is moving significantly all around the world.
You'll find it a huge encouragement.
Yep. It's wonderful. First letter is from Jose from Colombia. I have been listening to the program for 3 years. I like the way it communicates the word of God as it is, without adornments, because it does not need them. I have been a Christian since a young age, but since listening to you, I have been more edified than ever with the understanding of the word. And on many occasions, I have felt the voice of the Holy Spirit speak directly to my heart. I vow to you that I will listen carefully to the word and to the Spirit of the word.
Beautiful, beautiful. Now, from Colombia, let's go to Ecuador, because when you look at that map of Latin America and Central America, we are in every country. God is blessing the work. Victor from Ecuador shares this. Thank you, brothers, for sharing. I follow you every day, and I do not miss a single program, because as I listen to you, I am learning more and more of the Word of God. And then he puts a praying hands emoji. I like that.
Yeah.
We get emojis in the letters and the emails and the text. I pray to God that programs like this continue to multiply so that many people come to repentance and have a personal relationship with our Heavenly Father.
Wow, so encouraging to have a believer praying for us in Ecuador. Here's another one. This is from Iris, somewhere in South America. Thank you for this Bible study that you communicate to the world from which I have benefited. I accepted Jesus as my Savior many years ago, but I have not kept close enough to listen to him and praise him as I should. As a result of a season of tests that he asked me to walk through, little by little, I have approached him. Will he accept me back? A friend of mine who studies the Bible says yes. She loves to travel on the Bible bus. Praise the Lord, she included me in. Since the beginning of this 5-year journey, I have not missed a day. My spirit has been edified from the word of God, that now I see more clearly the path of faith to take. God will guide me. I have much to learn. I have decided to stay firm in this learning for the rest of my life.
Isn't it amazing, Steve, how again and again, people tell us that through God's power, we're hitting the center of the bullseye. People don't understand the Bible, and now they understand it, and it's changing their life.
Yeah, and I love just this commitment to walk with the Lord consistently until called home. May that be all of our desires. Greg, let me pray for us as we begin our study. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for your faithfulness that we can look specifically in so many different areas around the world, but this time into what's happening in Spanish and the faithfulness that you have had in producing fruit in not only South America, but North America and anywhere else where the Spanish language is heard. I pray you would continue to bless the ministry as it goes out. In Jesus' name, amen. Now here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, as we come today to the 12th chapter of Ezekiel, I hope you have your Bible and will turn there. It'll make it more meaningful to you, and our notes will be of great value to you. Although in our notes, we never go into a great deal of detail, that is, such as we attempt to do here. Our study is not a verse-by-verse attempt to study the Bible. However, it gets down to that, and sometimes it becomes a word-by-word. But all we are attempting to do is get the great message of the Word of God as we move along through it. And also, not only its interpretation, but its application today to our own hearts and lives. Now, as we come here to the 12th chapter, we are coming to a new section, actually, and from chapters 12 through 19, here we have a section that can be labeled, Judgment is Imminent, but Not Believed by the People. Ezekiel now is going to speak to the house of Israel that is in captivity, and they are not going to believe him because he's told that here. And this section is a very interesting section. The important thing was not the reception of the word, but the proclamation of the word. And this man Ezekiel is to make sure that he's giving the word of God. And we find here actually five times in this chapter, and probably I should point that out to you. It would help you to organize and get this chapter before you. In verse 1, he says, the word of the Lord also came unto me, saying. Then in verse 8, and in the morning came the word of the Lord unto me, saying. Nice to get the word of God in the morning, by the way. Then verse 17, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying. And then verse 21, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying. And again, and finally, in verse 26, here in this chapter, again the word of the Lord came unto me, saying. Now, five times in this chapter. Now, don't you get the impression that this man Ezekiel is trying to tell those people and trying to tell us today that he's giving the word of the Lord, and he's giving nothing short of that. Now, he is also told this, that he's not only to give the word of God, but he's told the ones to whom he's given it, of course, he was warned of this before, but God keeps reminding him of it because he may get discouraged. You know, it's so easy to do that. Here's what we find in verse 2. Son of man, thou dwellest in the midst of a rebellious house, who have eyes to see, and they see not. They have ears to hear, and they hear not, for they are a rebellious house. Now, this is something that you will find that God said from the very beginning. You go back to, for instance, the 29th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. Probably I should drop back there. Let me just lift out a verse there. In verse 4, he says here, yet the Lord hath not given you an heart to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear unto this day. In other words, they had their eyes closed and their ears stopped. And you'll find that not only did Ezekiel give this and confirm this truth, but you find Isaiah did, and I'll not turn to that passage, but you'll recall in Isaiah 6, 9 and 10, Jeremiah also confirmed it, Jeremiah 5, 21, and the Lord Jesus Christ, you remember, did that. And then you will find that the book of Acts closes with that type of a statement, and that's the last time that it occurs. And again, it's a question of these people with closed eyes and ears. I'm reading now Acts 28, verse 26, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing ye shall not hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, understand with their heart, should be converted, and I should heal them. Now, anyone that says today they can't believe, it's never mental. It's always of the will of the heart. They don't want to. The man that says, I have certain mental reservations, I have certain mental hurdles I can't get over. My friend, your mind is not that big to make even one little hurdle. The problem is never in the mind. The problem is the will. There's sin in your life. You don't want to turn to God. You don't want to believe Him. Israel is just a little miniature of the world. And I think we need to look at it like that in this book here, that the condition of Israel is the condition of the world. Israel was a little microcosm of the entire world. And this spirit of unbelief is abroad today. I was talking not long ago to a man. He's a college professor, very courteous, very polite, and he wanted me to know that he appreciated. He said, I've listened to you. I appreciate your ministry and your viewpoint and all that. But he says, you know, I have certain mental reservations. Well, I had to bite my tongue to keep from telling him. To begin with, he's assuming that he is so far intellectually ahead of me that I can't see it, but that he can. And that is assuming something he doesn't have. I know this man. He and I were in college together. And when I was in college, I worked with a psychology professor, and I found out what my IQ was, and I found out what his was in the rest of the class. And I want to tell you something. His wasn't so good, by the way, but he has intellectual reservations. You know what his problem is? He is today having an affair with a former student of his in the class. He doesn't know that I know it. May I say to you, she's his intellectual problem, by the way, and that is quite a problem. Now, blindness in part has happened to Israel, and that's true of the world today. That's very important to see here. And that's the reason that we wanted to emphasize that at this particular point. Now, this man, because of their attitude, he's not only going to give them a parable, he's going to enact the parable out. And this is a good one. You know, this man, Ezekiel, he's not only, in my judgment, a very brilliant man, but he had a real sense of humor. I'd love to have seen his face when he went through some of these mechanics. I think he's a ham actor if there ever was one. And I think he was greatly amused when he did this. Will you listen to him? Verse 3, therefore, thou son of man, prepare thee baggage for removing and move by day in their sight, and thou shalt move from thy place to another place in their sight. It may be they will consider, though they are a rebellious house. Then shalt thou bring forth thy baggage by day in their sight as baggage for removing, and thou shalt go forth at evening in their sight as they that go forth into captivity. Dig through the wall in their sight and carry out through it. I want to tell you, this is a good one. Here's what he does. He goes into his house, and the houses then were right on the street, by the way. So he's to dig through the wall. And he's to pack his baggage as if he's going on a trip. And so he packs all of his baggage, and he digs through the wall, and he comes up out in the street. And you can imagine the effect that would have. Here comes a man through a wall and bringing his suitcase with him. And people stop. Now, digging up in the street's not new. The city here plays a game with all of us. They dig up one street, and then you say, I'm going to be smart and go down another street. So the next day, they find out where you are going, and they go and dig up that street for you. So that it's quite a puzzle. We go through a maze through Pasadena digging up streets. So it's nothing new here. But I have a notion in that day when this man Ezekiel comes up out there in the street with his suitcase, people are going to stop and ask a question. Where are you going? What's the big idea? Well, do you know what the message was? We find here, verse 8, in the morning came the word of the Lord unto me, saying, Son of man, hath not the house of Israel, the rebellious house, said unto thee, what doest thou? He says, Ezekiel, I want you to tell them what you were doing. Say thou unto them, thus saith the Lord God, this burden concerning the prince in Jerusalem and all the house of Israel that are among them, say, I'm your sign. As I have done, so shall it be done unto them. They shall move and go into captivity. And the prince that is among them shall bear upon his shoulder in the twilight and shall go forth. They shall dig through the wall to carry out through it. He shall cover his face, and he shall see not the ground with his eyes. Now, Zedekiah was in Jerusalem on the throne. And the false prophets among the people here where Ezekiel, where they were saying, they said, now look here, Nebuchadnezzar's made two sieges of Jerusalem, and he's carried away captives. But he did not destroy the city, and he did not burn the temple, and he did not execute the king. Therefore, we're going to be going back before long. Don't worry. Now, Ezekiel says, I have news for you. What I've done is what's happening over yonder in Jerusalem. The king over there, the prince, that's Zedekiah, he thinks he's clever. He's going to slip out of the city during the siege. But he's not. And he's not going to see the ground. You know why he didn't see the ground? Go back and read the record. The history says that Nebuchadnezzar put out his eyes. This fella was deceptive. He was wicked. And actually, he had broken his treaty with Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar, the pagan king, was more honorable than God's man on the throne over there. And that, my friend, hurts the church today, I think, as much as anything. A dishonest Christian, especially a layman that is active in the Lord's work, and then in the business world, he doesn't have too much of a reputation. Now, that was Zedekiah, and this was a hard message. This was a bitter pill for those captives to swallow when the false prophets had said, it's so wonderful outside. Now, what he's saying is this, the full captivity of the people is at hand. And therefore, he's told next here, verse 17, and again we have it, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, eat thy bread with quaking, and drink thy water with trembling and with anxiety. Now, that's quite a stunt he's going to pull. He brings his table out in the street, and he sits there, and he's trembling as he eats. And then people come and says, what's the matter with you? Having a chill? Or is this something that you ate? And he said, no. I want you to know what's happening over yonder in Jerusalem. There's famine over there. There's fear over there. God is destroying that city. That's what I want you to know. What a tremendous message you see that this was that he's giving. Now, we have here in this next one, he says in verse 22, son of man, what is that proverb that ye have in the land of Israel saying, the days are prolonged and every vision faileth? They're saying, why, Jeremiah was wrong and Ezekiel's wrong, and you can see we're still in the land. The thing that Ezekiel is saying, I want you to know, God says that he's been patient, but it's all up now. And the thing that's going to happen is that the captivity is coming, and God's not going to wait any longer. Verse 28, therefore say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, there shall none of my words be prolonged any more, but the word which I've spoken shall be done, saith the Lord God. And my friend, you can write it down. I know it's not popular today. Everybody wants to say that it's going to be beautiful out yonder in front. The only beautiful thing out yonder in front is the fact that one of these days the Lord Jesus will take his church out of the world. And that's the only hope we have. This world's not going to get better. And we're not going to have peace. Oh, we've had intervals of it, as I gave the other day, of recorded history. There have already been 5,000 wars. There was only in the entire history of the human race, there's been only 200 or 300 years of what could actually be called peace in the world. And man today is not building a new world as he thinks that he is. Now, this continues. When we get here to chapter 13, we find that we have a prophecy now against these false prophets, these pseudo-prophets and prophetesses. And by the way, the women now brought in, they were all getting involved in this. And women always get mixed up. Oh, I ought not to say this, but I'm going to have to say it. Women get mixed up in cults and isms. Have you ever noticed the number of cults and isms that have been founded by women? Are the woman plays a very prominent part in it. And I know that's not popular to say that, but we're going to have that in this chapter here. Now, again, he's still giving the word of the Lord. Chapter 13, verse 1, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel that prophesy, and say unto them that prophesy out of their own hearts, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, woe unto the foolish prophets. Now, what was their problem? They were prophesying out of their own hearts. And God have mercy on a man that stands in the pulpit and spends his time giving his viewpoint and not giving the word of God, if he can't back it up with the word of God. Now, some of us make mistakes in interpretation. You know, I think sometimes I make a mistake. I do. But let's be clear, we're trying to interpret the word of God. And I notice when I mess it, I have plenty of folk that let me know that I'm wrong. But the important thing, friend, is to give the word of God. These men were giving what they thought. They were giving out how to make friends, influence people, and the power of positive thinking, and you can do it yourself. You should be self-reliant. You're a wonderful individual. You're not a sinner. And that was the message, you see, that was going out by the false prophets. They were attempting to say that everything is all right in Jerusalem. Now will you notice verse 17 here? Likewise, thou son of man, and notice this, set thy face against the daughters of thy people who prophesy out of their own heart, and prophesy thou against them. You'll resist them. And say, thus saith the Lord God, woe to the women that sew amulets upon all their wrists, make handkerchiefs for the head of every person of stature to hunt souls. Will ye hunt the souls of my people? Will ye save the souls alive that come unto you? By the way, when it says Nimrod was a great hunter of the Lord, that actually means he was a hunter of the souls of man. And that's what these cults are. They hunt out the souls of man. Now, women were involved in this. Now, actually, what was happening was the same thing that the false prophets were doing. You remember Peter says, there were false prophets also among the people, that is, Israel, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and so on. Now, will you note here at this matter of these women? I'm not going to give this on radio because I'll get in trouble if I do. But I have before me here the list of a half a dozen of the cults today that were started by women. And spiritualism with its mediums and its fortune tellers and necromancers and today witches. We got quite a few here in Southern California, but actually, I've always felt we've had them here a long time. But now they claim that they're witches. And that's what these women were doing, amulets. They give you a little something to put on your arm. That'll keep you from getting sick. That'll ensure you to have a safe trip. And then these are pillows that they put on their head. Wear something, you know, that some garment, you know. We'll give you a handkerchief, and we prayed over it, and you're just going to get well, by the way, as if there's merit in that and not in the Lord. May I say to you, friends, what you see about you today is never new. It's old as the human race. And these people were engaging in it. Now, Ezekiel denounces it. Now, don't blame me for what Ezekiel did. And don't blame Ezekiel, because he says, the Lord told me to do this. And he's doing it that way. Now, we come to chapter 14. And I'll just be able to open the door here to chapter 14. And here again is a message against the idolatrous elders, the officers in Israel, the leaders. I want to tell you that this is an amazing chapter, as we're going to see next time. May God richly bless you, my beloved.
Next time, we'll hear more from the curious book of Ezekiel. Until then, you can reach us at 1-800-65-BIBLE or drop us an email at biblebus@ttb.org or visit ttb.org, where you can find many resources to help you continue strong in your walk with God. Again, we love to hear from you, so be in touch. Call 1-800-65-BIBLE, go to ttb.org or biblebus@ttb.org if you want to send that email. I'm Steve Schwetz, and as always, I'll meet you back here. Go walk with God today.
Jesus made it home. All to be my own. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Today's study is always available, free to stream or download, thanks to the generous and faithful investments from your fellow Bible Bus travelers. Just go to ttb.org or download our app to listen again anytime. As always, we'd love to know what's God teaching you.
Hi, fishing enthusiasts. Want to watch a local fishing show here in Brevard County in your home waters? Look no further. Go to YouTube Space Coast Fishing Show and watch all our shows, ranging from freshwater to saltwater. You can leave a comment, hit that like and subscribe button, and we sure would appreciate it. Remember, YouTube Space Coast Fishing Show. God bless. Ecuador, listening to WWBC, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Good morning, good morning. I am Minister Gloria Ross of New Life Assembly of God in Melbourne, Florida. And this is to all our faith partners and radio listeners. We are the church in the city with the city in our hearts. The church address is 774 North Apollo Boulevard, and that's in Melbourne, Florida. The church telephone number is 321-255-6999. And our church services are every Sunday at 11 o'clock a.m. sharp. Come and be blessed. Now here is Pastor Ross.
Well, praise the Lord once again. We thank the Lord for this wonderful opportunity that we can speak to you into your hearings and tell you about the goodness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, I don't want to prolong the broadcast. I just want to pray for my faith partners out there in Radio Land and ask God's blessing to be upon each and every person that have ears to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying unto them. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you would bless the hearers out there and also the doers, Lord God. The hearers, get them, Lord, to be saved. The doers, Lord, bless them as well in the mighty name of Jesus. We cancel the assignment of Satan, the thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy, that's trying to rob them of the word of God. I pray that their ears will be open, their hearts will be receptive to receive your word in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Well, today we want to talk about the judgment of God. Praise God. You know, the Bible tells us that in his word that righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. I want to tell you today that God's going to judge sin. And a lot of people say, well, he has already judged sin through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But each and every day, people are sinning. We're looking at the things that's going on. So God has said in his word, and I want to use scripture to kind of validate what we're talking about concerning God will judge sin. So the subject that I want to talk about is the judgment of God. My Lord, I don't say this with a joyful heart because I know that God's going to judge each and every person. God's going to judge sin. And the word of God tells us in 2 Peter 2, and we want to look at the fourth verse, and we want to see that God is serious about sin. Let me tell you something for a moment. Sin stinks. And this is why there has to be a sweet-smelling savor that's going up into the nostrils of God. Sin stinks. God is serious about what he's doing. And many of us, we play around and we feel that, we can get away with certain things. But I want to tell you today with an honest and open heart that God judges sin. Praise God. God judges sin. Now let's look at what the word of God says here. For the angels that sin, God cast them down into hell. Isn't that what the word of God says?
Yes, that's what it says.
Cast them down into hell and chain them in darkness unto the day of judgment. I said unto the day of judgment. That's what God did. Now, he said, if the angels sin, other words, they kept not their first estate, according to what Jude said, but they sin, and God is serious. God judged not only those angels, God judged Sodom and Gomorrah. God rained down fire and brimstones upon that wicked city, brought them to ashes. That's what the word of God says. He judged Sodom and Gomorrah. He judged the old world. That's what he did. He judged them, the old world, by bringing the flood and saved Noah, his wife and sons and their wives. God judged it. Now, that's two judgments that we've looked at already, not in its entirety, because there's a lot to say about the judgment of God that came upon those, the angels, and also the old world, and he saved Lot. And, Minister Glory, there's another judgment that God brought?
Yes.
Praise God. You want to tell the radio listeners out there? Praise the Lord. The judgment of God. God is going to judge sin. He judged those in the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
He judged them.
Yes.
Praise God. But I want to say something here this morning. Praise God. And the Bible says it. It's not what I say. It's what the Bible says.
Yes.
Praise God. That God knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. If you're born again and washed in the blood of the Lamb, God knows how to deliver you out of temptation. In Minister Glory, I know it takes time. This is a lengthy message, but you want to read 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13 and praise God, and let's see how God knows how to deliver. I said deliver the godly out of temptation.
There has no temptation taken you but such as common to man. But God is faithful. Hallelujah. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will, with the temptation, also make a way to escape, that you be able to bear it.
Praise the Lord. So you don't have to, if temptation comes your way or you're facing temptation, and we're tempted all day long in this world as a child of God, we're tempted. Temptation is all around us. But God knows how to deliver you. He knows how to deliver me out of temptation. Praise God. And Minister Glory just read the word of God, tells us in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13 that God is faithful, who will not suffer or permit you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape by giving you the strength to bear it.
Amen.
You don't have to fall into temptation. But the word of God says, when you fall in divers temptation, praise God, you give God praise.
Praise
honor
God.
And glory, because God knows how to deliver you. But let me tell you something today out there in Radio Land. That scripture that I just quoted there, that God knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation, but the unjust, folks that are not saved, other words, folks that are not born again, folks that are not calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and turning their lives over to him, I want to tell you that's a sad day, because this judgment, God has reserved them. That's a sad situation there.
Yes.
But it's what the word of God says.
Mm-hmm.
If he knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation, then what happens to the unjust? And the word unjust means that you're unjustified, praise God. In other words, you're not saved. And I want to tell you today that if you're hearing what I'm talking about here, and I'm not trying to preach this, if you're hearing what I'm talking about, turn your life over to the Lord Jesus Christ, because judgment is definite. Yeah. And God will judge. Minister God,
yes.
God's going to judge. Now, we know that the Lord Jesus Christ came. And since he took the wrath of God for all of us, none of us having an excuse. None of us have an excuse so that we can say, well, I didn't know. Yes, you know, because God sent forth his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Praise God. God sent not his Son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So you have an opportunity. If you are not saved, unjustified, you can call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Give your heart to him. And I want to tell you, he said in his word that whosoever cometh unto him, he will in no wise cast him out. You have an opportunity right now, right where you are, to give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you do not know him, and if you know him as a child of God, you can praise him.
Amen.
And thank him for everything that he's done and what he's now doing for you as a child of God. The whole purpose is that those that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, give your heart to Jesus. Now, let's go back into what Peter's talking about here. Because Peter is, he's given us not just a bird's eye view, but he's given us a strong illustration in terms of the judgment of God, what God will do. Now, we know that he's judged the angels. He's judged Sodom and Gomorrah. And what's the other judgment that he judged? Praise God. There was another judgment, because what happened is that he judged the old world as well. Mm. Okay. Can you imagine those people that were there that made mockery when Noah was building the ark, and he judged those folks by bringing in the flood and to save Noah, a preacher of righteousness.
Praise God.
And allowed he and his wife and his children and their wives to be saved. God judges. Mm-hmm. Now, we know that God knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. God knows, praise God. Thank God that he knows how to do this. And I know that we're jumping back and forth, but I just want to tell you something. God will judge. He is the righteous judge. And he's the one that is able to judge everything that we do as a child of God. And what was that other judgment, Minister Glory? Praise the Lord. That you want to... Well, when Lot was there in Sodom.
Right.
You want to read that?
And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked.
That city was full of sin, from the least to the greatest. And how God warned you before judgment, as he warns everybody before judgment. He's warning this United States here before his judgment comes on them, on this country. I want to tell you something. A lot of people look at things and say, it's just what they want to do as politicians. But let me tell you something. Mm. We all know what is right and what's wrong.
Yes.
And this country is going in the wrong direction. Mm-hmm. But I'm not here to preach about this country. I just want to tell you that God's going to judge sin.
Amen.
He's going to judge it. Praise God, he's going to judge it. Mm-hmm. And what happened is that he delivered Lot and his wife out of Sodom and Gomorrah. He sent two men, two angels. This is how wicked the city was. He sent two men down to Lot to warn Lot. And what happened is that the people of that city saw these two men, angelic beings, dressed in white, praise God. Lot invited them into his home, and the people of that city came to Lot's house, banging on his door, asking to send those two men out. So Lot offered them his daughters instead of allowing them to take hold of the angels that came there. They said, no, we don't want those daughters. We want those men. That's how wicked the city was. But anyway, God judged it.
Yes.
You can read it in Genesis 19. God judged it. And he's going to judge today, because what's happening is that the way that things are going in this world, this United States,
yes,
God's going to judge. So Abraham's nephews here, and Abraham tried to bargain with God, and he said, if there's 50, will God destroy the city? God said, no. And he went on down until he couldn't find 10 righteous people in that city. So what happened is that he had to destroy it. But he warned Lot. Lot got, and his wife got out. And I want to tell you today, it is an old familiar statement there. Remember Lot's wife. Don't let your body get out and your mind is still back there in Sodom. Don't allow your body to keep you from praising God.
Praise the Lord.
Well, anyway, God is good, and he loves us. So, Minister Glory, now, I want to go to the ninth verse again. It's kind of like, you know, repeating what I'm saying here, but I want to have a strong illustration concerning what God does when he's going to judge. He knows how to deliver us. Praise God. And I want to get down to the bottom of what we're talking about.
The ninth verse says, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust until the day of judgment to be punished.
So the unjust will be this being reserved. If you don't change your way of life and you stay in that position of not knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, failing to give your heart to Jesus, just going in and out of the motions, God has reserved. He's made reservation. Now, he knows who belongs to him.
Yes, he does.
And he knows who will come to him. But the point of the matter is that the scripture says that God has reserved. I said reserve. You know, like, for instance, when you call for an airline ticket, you make reservation. And it holds that position for you. Well, let me tell you something. God has reserved the unjust. I said the unjust. To be punished. I said to be punished.
Mm-hmm.
In the day of judgment, to be punished. So there's a distinction between the godly and the unjust. And Minister Gloria, the place that God has reserved for the unjust is a terrible place.
Yes.
You know, we can't play church, and we can't just go in and out and don't give our hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't think of the eternal consequences that takes place because we don't want to serve God. We don't want to follow the assignment that he gave us when we came into this world. In the appointed time, he uses you because he has a purpose for each person that came into this world.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Mm-hmm. So God's going to judge. You have something you want to say before we begin?
Well, I wanted to make sure the ones who know the Lord Jesus Christ, have received Jesus Christ, they won't be judged the way that the ones who do not. Because I know in 2 Corinthians 5 and 10 it says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. That's the Bema seat. So ones who know Christ is going to a place where we will be getting rewards.
Amen.
Now,
you won't be judged for sin.
No, you won't be judged for sin.
Yes. But what about the unjust?
Those are the ones that's going to see the great white throne judgment.
My God.
That's in Revelation.
Revelation 20, and verse
11, 15. When we start 11.
Oh, 11.
And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Hallelujah. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open.
Amen.
Oh, boy. And another book was open, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which was written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. Listen to this. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Now, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Oh, my God. Final judgment. Final judgment.
Yes. Well, everybody talk about, well, you have people, some people say, well, they use the word hell. But the most important thing is that they don't realize hell is not just a name. It is a place. It's a place. And Luke 16 talks about that. Matter of fact, Jesus was speaking in Luke 16. So the whole idea is that hell, once you leave this earth realm here or divest yourself of the physical man, or other words, put off this old tabernacle, listen, you go straight to hell if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, there are folks that talk about, well, there's soul sleep. Well, you just, after you leave here, that's all it is. You just slow, soul sleep. That is not true. That is not true. There's a judgment for the unjust, or for the folks that are not born again. There's a judgment for it. This is why we can't sit inside the churches and play church, hear songs, and hear the word of God, if the word of God is being preached or taught, and then walk out the same way we came in. I want to tell you today, this is serious matter. It has always been serious. Your soul is at stake. And the whole important thing is that God said in Ezekiel 18 and verse 4, he said, all souls are mine, and the soul that sinneth, it shall die. So what is happening is that God is serious, and he's going to judge sin. I said sin. So we've read, we've jumped around, we've read what the word of God said when Peter was speaking. Praise God. But I want to tell you, the old covenant and the new covenant is still the word of God. Praise the Lord. But the most important thing is that you have the opportunity now, while you breathe in this world, to give your heart to Jesus.
There's so many people saying, oh, why would a loving God put me in hell? No, he didn't do it. You did it. Because you did not receive the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. And you're not trying to scare anybody. You're just telling them the truth of God's word. Because when you read in Corinthians there about the Bema seat of Christ there, listen, it's there. Those are the people there that have given their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. And you're not being judged there at that judgment seat or Bema seat. You there for rewards. But praise God, everything will be done according to the will of God. And you're there at that Bema seat to give an account unto Jesus for the things that you've done in your body, whether it's been good or bad. What have you done with the name of Jesus? This is why it's so important that we tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus saves. Nothing else can save you. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior. Receive him into your heart and receive eternal life. But Minister Glory, this is the most important thing here. When the unjust, according to what Peter said in 2 Peter 2 and verse 9, that God knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation, but he has reserved the unjust to be judged on the day of judgment. So now there's another judgment, and it's the white throne judgment that takes place there in Revelation 20. And the whole idea is that no saved person or born-again person will be there. In the white, great white throne judgment, is only sinners there. That's a final judgment. for you to be judged. I pray today that if you heard what I said, please miss the great white throne judgment. And you can by giving your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the one that is able to save. And Minister Glory, there's two books there at the great white throne judgment. And one book has all of the sins that folks have committed stacked up there under that book. And then there's also the book of life. Now, what happened is that the folks that are standing before the great white throne judgment, their sins have not been forgiven. You see, and that's the reason why they are there. If they had given their hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ, then their names would be in the book of life. But thank God, the word tells us, and I want you to read the 15th verse there, because you don't have to die twice. All you have to do is die once and then be in the presence of God. As Apostle Paul said there in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 8, well, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You don't have to die twice. Die once.
And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's the final judgment.
That's the final judgment. The book of life. I mean, the great white throne judgment is for all of us that will receive the Lord Jesus Christ. But the great white throne judgment is for those that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a message here that it strongly will touch the hearts of everybody, whether you save or not save. Listen, you will consider your position and where you are at this time. If you're a child of God, you praise the Lord and give him all the honor and glory. And if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ and you fall in the status of unjustified, I want to tell you, give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask Minister Glory if she would just
today
extend that
is the
invitation.
Day of salvation.
Amen.
That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Here we are. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise the Lord. I want to leave this scripture with everybody that is tuned in. Hebrew 9 and verse 27, the word of God says that it's been appointed once for man to die, and after that, the judgment. God's going to judge. God bless you.
You've been listening to the Salvation and Deliverance Outreach, brought to you by New Life Assembly of God Church, located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard in Melbourne. Their number is 321-255-6999. You also can write New Life Assembly of God Church at Post Office Box 2303, Melbourne, Florida 32902. Be with us again at the same time next week for another program, Salvation and Deliverance Radio Outreach. Thank you.